Okay. Would you like to say your name, please?
Betty Jewell.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in 1930 in Bolton. I'd always lived in Bolton all my life. I met Eric, and he was born in Sheffield. But when he was a year old, his father had no work, and they came up with the Corporation Waterworks to find work up here, and they lived in Burnbanks.
Did he have a job? Did his father have a job before he
came on the off chance, yeah. And Eric was a year old, and they came to Burnbanks, and his dad worked on the waterworks, and Alan was born here three years later.
At Burnbanks?
At Burnbanks, yeah.
So that would have been which year?
1932, December 32. But I don't think that there was any work there, I'm not quite sure. They had a very thin time of it.
Mm.
But I used to hear from Eric when we did meet later, and he talked about his life in the lakes. It was a very happy young life. I mean, I was in Bolton, and the war, and there was bombing in Manchester. But Eric used to talk about the lovely times they had up here. And they used to chop wood from the trees and go up the mountainside and wander for ages out on the moors. And nobody bothered. And there was no fear of bombing. You know, that was my first memory.
Mm.
And he loved the lakes. And we often came back together. And Joyce, at this stage, when I first met Eric, he used to talk about Joyce, because she'd come into Booth Hall to do nursing. And he used to say, "She's really thin, Joyce. She's lovely, but she's really thin. And she always shows us her muscles."
Where's Booth Hall?
Booth Hall is children's hospital in Manchester.
Oh, Manchester, of course.
Really, really clever girl. Good nurse. Did, yeah.
Also had gone to Manchester to work, and they were living in Bolton. Eric and his brother made up the connection again, which we'd had as children, and we met up again.
Okay, Joyce, would you like to say when and where you were born?
Right, I was born. My parents lived in Bampton. My dad was born in Bampton and lived at Crossgates with his parents. And then he was a farm labourer, and he went onto a farm near Penruddock, and he met my mother, who we married, and they went back to live in a room at Bampton. And then they had me, and then a year later, after struggling in a room, because his dad had got this position in round the farms like Mr. Hindmarsh, my dad got a job up there, and we got a house up there.
Right.
And so that was about 1931 or two, I should think. So I don't remember it, but I remember going.
Mm.
And so that was how we came to be there. Seems with everybody, it was shortage of work, wasn't it? You know, people were coming from all over the place. But like Betty said, great childhood, great place. Remember the war there, remember the incendiary bombs that they dropped, and everybody said, "Oh, they're trying to hit the dam," but they hadn't got the bouncing bomb, had they, to hit it. And we all sat quite happily in these little houses. I mean, if anything had hit it, we'd soon have been washed down the valley, wouldn't we?
So there were some bombs dropped?
Quite a few. Not just the incendiaries. They dropped a lot of incendiaries, which absolutely lit up the whole of the fells round the lake. And then they dropped, I don't know how many, maybe half a dozen bombs, because we loved going to get the shrapnel out of the craters when they dropped them. But they never really got anywhere near the... I mean, the dam from the air must have looked about that wide, and it was never hit. But
where did they land?
They landed on the fells, particularly, on the where the hotel is now, along there, that got them. About five or six were dropped, but... And everybody's
was there an aeroplane came down there? Was there a plane came down near Horswater? It doesn't matter, I just thought...
No, I think there might have
been. Yeah.
I don't remember it. Yeah, maybe there was.
I think there was.
Go on then, give us your next question. That's all we know about that. All we know about the war, I don't know as well. we never had any shortage of food because my dad working around these farms.
Oh,
every
yes.
time they killed a pig or a cow or anything, he used to come home with the butter and the milk and some meat and some whatever they'd made out of the pig, some sausage and black pudding. So we never
there were plenty
it.
Of eggs from the hens. Yeah.
And we had our own hens down the back garden.
Yeah.
We certainly didn't go short of food during the war. Mm-hmm. Not like a little.
Can you remember which house you were in first?
I think it was 35 or 36.
39,
it was the one
it?
With the doctor's surgery on the end. I can only remember that because we thought it was great because we could play in there, jumping on that bed that the doctor had there. And
yeah.
Were you allowed in?
Yeah, because my mum had to clean it.
I used
to get in.
Well, she cleaned it, you got in.
It was great.
What was in there then? They had a bed.
There was just a bed. There wasn't drugs or anything like that. Not that I remember. Well, we wouldn't be because they wouldn't leave them, would they? And all, it was just a desk and chairs and then there was this bed, but it was on wheels, which gave us great thrills.
Those are lovely childhood memories, aren't
they?
Yeah.
And like Betty said, you know, going up on that fell side, and we'd go up for the whole day nearly, and nobody bothered where we were. Nobody thought we were going to get. And I mean, there must have been a lot of funny men up there, mustn't there? In those huts, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there were single men or men on their own that lived in these big huts. I mean, they wouldn't all be perfect, would they? And yet nobody bothered
and little,
in those
little
days.
Children running
nowadays,
about, and it's
everybody's watching the children within 2 minutes, but nobody seemed to bother. There was never any trouble.
Didn't you go to school along that road? Did you go by bus to school?
Well, no, we didn't until the ambulance came. We walked.
Yeah.
And then somehow we got this old ambulance. Then we got a lift. But that Bobby Hostel that lived. Number 60, wherever he lived. I mean, he was the village policeman. I was just saying yesterday, we're frightened to death of him. You know, if we were on the fell side and Bobby Hostel, we'd say, oh, it's Bobby Hostel.
Yes.
I'm frightened to death. How
old was he?
No, I should have thought it could have been in his 50s. Would he be a retired policeman? I mean, they wouldn't give a real policeman that little job, would they?
Yes, I think they would. Anyone who wanted to be in the police with a hat, you know, they would just be there.
When you're young, if somebody's 30, you think they're old, don't you?
Well, that's right. So he probably was, wasn't he?
Big fat man.
Yeah.
So he'd been a policeman, had he?
Well, whether he was a policeman or had been, I don't know. I mean, like I say, he could have been 30, and I, as a little girl, might have thought he was quite old.
Mm.
It was difficult to tell their ages in those days. They didn't look quite as young as they do. Mm.
But he had that air of authority.
He frightened you. Yeah.
If he said, go home. He once came to our house because there was some allotment, and I sat on the wall, and there were, I don't know whether they were gooseberries or what they were, and I was pinching them over the wall and eat them, and he came. He came to our house.
She pinched the gooseberries.
My mother was a she said, and my dad said, there's no need for her to steal food, we've got a guy.
Forbidden fruit, you always like sour apples and sour gooseberries.
They always taste better,
don't they? It did taste better, yeah.
Somebody reported. Don't know whether he saw me doing it, but I mean, I haven't forgotten it to this day. That's about 7 years ago.
Whereabouts were the allotments?
There weren't so far from where they are now. There was a playing field. Where if you go up past where Sylvia lives now and where we used to live, on that road, then the allotments and the playing fields were on the left. Mm. Upside.
Over the cattle grid and then on the left.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so people were able to grow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, people had decent sized gardens anyway.
Mm, plenty of land.
You know, I mean, they weren't that small, all the little gardens, but then there was loads and loads of allotments.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose everybody tried to grow their own things, you see, wouldn't they? Because wasn't just convenient for popping out to get something.
It would save you money, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
And there wasn't much money anyway, so you had to do it, didn't you? you know, I mean, there was no means of going to a shop, and you wouldn't think about it because you'd grow it.
No, and yeah. You know, in those days, I mean, men weren't sitting with computers or television screens, were they? I mean, they went to work, and then at weekends they did their allotments or the gardens, or the gardens used to be beautifully kept up at Belmont, you know, lovely. Yeah, I can remember. Remember having a new dress made for thing at the church. Mary's mother used to make me dressing, and I went and sat on these swings.
Yeah.
And I got this organza dress. Now, I mean, what a daft thing to do! I felt I was absolutely the queen of the day. Yeah.
So, you moved into the first house.
Yeah.
But was that a small one? One bedroom or?
Two bedrooms.
Two bedrooms.
And then this bit of an extension where the doctor came.
Right.
I can't really remember much of the layout of that place at all. I can remember moving into the Oaks number one. That was bigger. And that had a big garden. I mean, well, it's going to be a car park now for Sylvia.
Sorry, yeah.
And a park for two cars. That was quite a big garden down there. Then it went quite a long way down into the wood at the back. Well, they had some chickens and a chicken pen. And,
why did you move from the first house to that one?
Do you know, I've no idea.
Did your family get bigger? Did you have brothers and sisters?
No, just Joyce, yeah.
No, we just, whether...
Can you remember when it was you moved down there?
No.
How old you were?
No, it must have been during the war because we got an evacuee.
Did you?
A girl came from somewhere to stay.
From the Channel Islands or somewhere?
No, she was already lived up the road.
Oh, she was evacuated. Did she come and stay with you?
She
was your age?
For a while. Yes, she was.
Yeah.
Yes, she was. And because we only had two bedrooms there, I think. But because I was a girl, we could take another girl.
Yeah.
Oh, and she had no end of head lice, and all my head got in.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was at the Oaks as well when she came. There's quite a lot of evacuees came, but they didn't stay very long up there.
Yeah.
Can you remember what the Oaks was like inside? You thought it had two bedrooms? It
had two bedrooms.
And a living room and a kitchen?
A living room and a kitchen. It had a like passageway, I think, along the back that went into a kitchen where the old boiler was in the corner. And then it had a bathroom that went off it, and a bedroom that went off it, and into the lounge that way, and then the other side of the lounge went into the other bedroom, I think. And then it had a toilet near the back door. There wasn't a toilet in the bathroom. As you were going to go out the back door at the back garden, there was a little toilet.
Yes, that's like Sylvia's, isn't it? She's got a separate toilet.
Has she?
Didn't sit like
we didn't go through that.
Similar place to Sylvia's then.
Yeah.
So we didn't go anywhere,
no,
did we yesterday?
No, just sat in there.
But, I mean, they were wonderful houses, really. And I was there till I was, I think, about 15.
You were there till
1945. I only know that really and truly because Sylvie said yesterday that she knew when her parents moved into the house, and it was when we moved out. And she'd still got their rent book from when they took over the to leaving, and I think she said 45.
So 45, 46, you went to Manchester to do your nursing?
No.
You went to Penrith Grammar?
I was at
Penrith Grammar
then.
How long? Till you were 18?
I left there when I was 17.
So you
went to Manchester in the September.
That's right.
Yeah.
But when you were 15 or so, you left Burnbanks?
That was the end of
For Penruddock?
Yeah. My granny, it's funny really, because Mary's mother used to live with my granny, and Mary's mother's husband had moved with the railway down south. And so we went, and because Grandma had a post office and a shop, so we left Burnbanks and went to live at Penruddock and looked after her. So that was about 45, I think. But I mean, I've always gone back up to Burnbanks ever.
But you said you weren't going to come back again.
You said,
once they've demolished those cottages, those houses, and Eric's not here, I'm not going back again.
Well,
But he loved it.
Yeah, and I think yesterday we were talking to Sylvia.
Sylvia, yeah.
And she said, come when the weather's nice and we'll go and look at the waterfall again and we'll go and look at the where the eel trap in the there. And we couldn't even see the dam yesterday, could we? You know, when you go over the cattle grid. Betty didn't want to walk over the cattle grid, so, and it was really raining by this time, so we didn't want to walk far enough to see it, so we didn't see it yesterday.
But you would in the spring. If you came, I mean, it was dark at 4 o'clock yesterday. If we came in the spring, then it's different. And if Sylvia's in her new house, and we can go and see her new house, and there are other people there, it will eradicate this funny feeling that you have of Sylvia there on her own, which...
I felt like we were abandoning her.
Yes, I know.
All this slush and mud. And
but she was so...
She's fine. She wasn't...
Pessimist, optimistic, and happy about it. And I mean, she's only lost her husband in the past 3 years. And yet, she didn't wail on about that. She was very...
I remember her husband.
Yeah, I do. I saw him the last time we were there. I've seen him recently. Got photographs.
Do you want to go on? I was shooting up.
Are you all right?
It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Should we talk about Eric?
Yes.
And what you know of Eric's earliest memories when he was where he was born and how he came to be at Dunbar.
Yeah, well, he lived in Sheffield, was born in Sheffield. And I'm not quite sure why they came to Burnbanks.
Which year was it? Sorry, you might
have said. Yes, it was 29.
1929.
29 he was born. Mm. And at 30 he went up to the lakes. And his dad wasn't working, but there was waterworks work in Sheffield. So I'm sure that some... You know, it was said he came on a bike, but he couldn't have biked all that way.
That would be...
Incredible.
A week? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
He maybe came... There may have been a lift so far.
Yeah.
Think, and then he was...
And he came on a bike.
There wouldn't be any buses going up to Burnbanks.
No.
In 1930. No. But it might have been that he could get to Penrith or he could get to Shap. Yeah. You know, perhaps. There'd be trains or there'd be buses.
Yeah, possibly.
And then on his bike.
Yeah.
It's all right.
And they had nowhere to live, so where he lived. But then he must have got work with the waterworks, with on work on the dam, because of course they were doing similar work in Derbyshire, weren't they?
That's right. The water dam's being
built. Yeah. And some of his brothers were there. He was a family of 12, and some of the jewels were over there. And he came here, and of course Eric and his mum. And then...
So his father came first?
His father came first, yeah.
And they came once,
they followed.
Once he got the work, and the house went with the work.
That's right. Number 65, Burnbanks, yeah. Which is near Sylvia's, there. And then Alan was born the following year.
That would be 31.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And they stayed until... When was it, Eric? Was it 42? 42, they were there. But then they heard... I think he heard there was work in Bolton, which was the, you know, the dam, and I think it finished the work on the dam. And he
did the work that Mr. Jewell was doing would be finishing.
Yeah,
and
that's
but
right.
But he did try to find them other work, and that was why they moved.
Do you know what his original job was?
No.
Just a labourer. Just a labourer with anything he could find.
Yes.
And and Mum was working cleaning
the
hotel.
Control, wasn't it? Something to do
with
the water.
It was at Lostock, Bolton.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Would be a dam, and whether that work was all was done when it got so high.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's right.
Was he involved in actually building the dam?
He was.
So that was
it. Yeah. Yeah.
He was involved in building the dam.
Well, I think so.
Oh, no,
was he not, Joyce?
Well, I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I think it was to do with this water.
Control of machines.
In a different place altogether than the workers on the dam. It was a different part of what they did, and it was to do with the water. And that was why he got the job at Bolton, because it was what he'd already done.
I see, yes.
But not like a neighbour that was digging out for the dam and building
it. No, he was only little, wasn't he? He was only about 5 foot two. And I often think that Eric was 10 when they left here, and he didn't sit for the 11 plus, and he came to Bolton, was nearly 11, had missed the scholarship, and he just went to an ordinary primary school, an ordinary school, and left at 14 without the advantage of a grammar school education, which he was up to doing, he could have got. But Alan was luckier because he was 9, and he came to Bolton, had 2 years in Bolton, and got a place at Bolton School, which is a very good school, and he had a much superior education. You know,
just bad luck.
Bad luck
for Eric.
It was, yeah, yeah, because he was clever and bright, yeah. But he went into engineering.
He did well in the end.
Yeah, his dad wanted him to go into engineering. He thought that would either a train driver or an engineer. So he went into engineering, and he did very well. He worked for British Aerospace. So,
he did.
Yeah.
So they were in 65 to start with at Burnham.
That's right.
And did they stay there?
They stayed there.
The whole time?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it was shorter time than you, Joyce, wasn't it? Because it was 10 years that you they were there.
Mrs. Jewell used to give piano pay lessons.
Oh, she did.
Did you play the piano?
She did.
And I used to go for the lessons, but I only went for the lessons because she had these two gorgeous lads who used to play hide and seek. And she used to be
she fancied the pair of them, you see.
lovely ginger cake. I could smell that now coming out of that old black stove in that room. This lovely smell of big squashy ginger cake. And I could remember hiding in those days we never could afford a wardrobe, so they'd all got those corner things with a curtain round, you know,
right.
When you hung the wardrobe, you only closed that.
Yeah.
And we used to hide and seek in behind the corner.
Yeah.
I was going to go on to ask about the houses, what they were like inside, and you talked about cooking, that they had a range.
A black range.
That was would have been in the living room.
Yeah. It was in the living room.
But they ovens at each side.
So two ovens, one at each side.
Yeah.
Yes. Fire in the middle. With a hot plate on top.
Yeah. And then a horrible black chimney that went up through the roof.
So there would have been a hole in the roof for
a pipe
a flue
anyway.
To go up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the only heating there would be.
Yeah.
I never remember. I mean, you said earlier you thought they were cold. I remember feeling cold, but I think we dressed a bit more sensibly in those days. It was cold, you put pleasure clothes
on. Eric's mum knitted all the time. She knitted those awful fair owl pullovers that the lads wore, you know. baby coats.
Yeah, everything was done on that stove. I think we had a primer stove in the kitchen, which was quite posh. If you had a proper stove,
pumped it up.
A bit quicker, just in case you hadn't got your fire up to the right.
So the meals and whatever would be cooked on the range, mostly maybe in the living room. And then where would people eat? In the kitchen or?
You'd sit at the table, wouldn't you, for your meals?
Was there room for that in the kitchen? Or?
Yeah.
I think Sylvia said they had a fold down
table. Yeah.
That got folded away after the
That's
meal.
That's right.
I don't know if it was the same.
No, I think we ate in the living room. I think we had table in the living room. But you were bound to have something in the kitchen because they never wanted things to get dirty in those days. You know,
that's
they
right.
were best things, like best crockery that you never used and best clothes that you never wore till you'd grown out of them. So we must have had somewhere in the kitchen. But maybe it was on top of that boiler thing, because that took up quite a bit of room, your washing boiler.
Yeah.
Perhaps people had a bit on top. On top of that, I would think. Mm-hmm.
And did you use that was used for washing then when you first went there? That would
It was. You lit it early on a Monday morning and we just then boiled up, and then after the time it boiled over, if you didn't, you had to take this wooden lid off, and if you didn't get it off, a bit like a pan potato, so you didn't get it off in time, it all went all over the floor.
And you had to stoke up the fire underneath.
That's right.
Off the kitchen, there was. Where's your coal hole? Place for coal.
Not outside, was it?
No, inside.
Was it?
Opposite the back door, there was a door, and it had a place there.
Yeah.
My mum used that for coal, and I can remember them buying a little, some sort of a little cooker that she put on a shelf in there that we could use when we didn't use that big fire. Mm. I mean, what sort would it be? Because it couldn't be electric or gas. I wouldn't have thought. It might have been electric, mightn't it?
Did anyone use gas cylinders in those days?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Those Calagas, no.
Them little cookers like young people have for students today, you know, just a little one. You'd get it plugged in somewhere.
It would be a
little electric one.
It could be, couldn't it? Well, I said in the early days, it would have been paraffin, wouldn't it?
Yes. Paraffin.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, probably.
And what were these ranges like to cook in, do you know? I mean, you obviously described that people made cakes in them.
Lovely cakes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Bit like an aga cooker is now.
Yeah.
You know, where the heat is always there.
Yeah.
But, of course, they came later, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mm.
What about bread? Did people make bread?
She made bread.
Yeah, they did make
she made bread, bread, yeah.
You see, but they'd have to make as much as they could. Mm. Because they won't get anything otherwise, won't they?
They must have had every house must have had a larder that had lots of supplies in it.
Yeah, those...
If there was no shop and you had to wait for mobile shops.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Must have had.
Or a big cupboard somewhere.
With like a net over the front. Those cupboards, yeah. Those...
I can remember the larder in the Oaks. I can remember the larder in the first house, well, that Sergio was, because it had got like a concrete slab, you know, like...
Things cold.
Yes, yes, that was where you put your milk and everything.
Marble slab,
Yeah, marble, actually. Mm. So they did have a larder, and I presume the Oaks had as well. I can't remember where it was.
Were you involved in doing any cooking or washing? No.
No.
Too young?
Well, no, too lazy.
No.
You see, our mums didn't sort of go out to work.
And they didn't encourage you to help with it.
By the time I got back from Bampton, that was took me long enough.
Yeah.
But my mother was still washing from morning.
Well.
What about getting the clothes dry? Would there have been a mangle?
No, they were in front of that old thing. And it was not only cold, it was damp with your clothes on the floor.
Well, they had a rack.
Yeah, it did.
You know, and that the heat from the fire rose up and dried it. Very effective, really. Very effective.
Do you know, they're putting them in modern houses.
Yes, they are. Now. They are. You know what I mean by a rack?
Yes, yeah. A pulley. You can pull up.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, we've got one.
Have you? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're good.
They are good. Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, that's why they dried them. But then, you could put them outside as well, wouldn't they?
Yes, yeah. They would freeze. The weather, climatic conditions were different then. We had colder winters and warmer summers, without doubt. I mean, now, I think the weather's the same right through the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is the same. You get...
It's cold up sharp this morning. What's next bit? <bit? laughs>
I'm just looking to see if there's anything more about the house. What did you do for entertainment at home? I mean, in those days, there would have been no televisions. Did you have a radio?
No.
A piano. Nanny Jewel had the piano and she sang.
My mum used to play the piano and sing.
Just to sing.
So there was a piano in both the houses?
Yes.
That's interesting. Yeah. So there would always be someone who could play, and other people would join in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm. We used to have quite a lot of gets together. I remember playing charades, and we played so much more simple things.
Cards? Did you play cards? Yeah. We did. We played whist and solo. We played every night cards
not
at home.
Not so many cards. We played dominoes. We played charades. Went to my granny's a lot because my granny and Mary's mum lived at Penruddock, which we could bike to. So,
did you bike to Penruddock from
mum and dad? Yeah,
Bank.
Yeah,
Burnbanks.
There when I was.
Did you really? Yeah.
And we only got about to Bampton when I said I'll have to have a rest now. So we all got.
We did that this morning. We'd hardly get half down the road. She said, "We'll go back now. It's cold."
As children, where did you play at Burnbanks? In the woods?
In the woods, behind in the woods those, behind us, there were lovely people in that wood.
Yeah.
The last time Eric and I came up, we had some pictures taken in that wood where we used to play. We used to play on the fell side, build houses, just play. Don't remember really going over the dam side an awful lot. You know, it was just that fell behind us.
I don't suppose you were alive.
And in that...
Were you supposed to keep away from the dam, or...?
No, you didn't.
There were no restrictions.
And you could get permission to go through it easily and walk across it without any bother in the early days. Yes, you could. Can't now.
No.
And you could go up. We used to go back up when my husband was alive, and you could get permission to trout fish in Hoswater. You know, it wasn't a no-go area at all, but now I think it is. I think they're frightened of it being blown up now.
Can you remember what the woods were like? Because now there's a lot of conifers and so on that I assume were planted
round in those
time
days.
The dam was built. So in the very beginning there would have been what, oak woods, or there wouldn't have been a lot of the big conifer trees?
No, there weren't. It was just, there were, it was pretty wood really, and the pretty little walk through where we went through to that other road that goes up to but we played hours and hours in there.
That's where you can still walk through.
Can you still walk through?
Opposite Sylvia's house.
Yeah.
You can walk through.
And come out on the other road. Yeah.
So that wood's really unchanged.
That's
bigger trees maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the number of trees up there now is enormous, isn't it? I mean, it's difficult for me now, looking at it, to remember which bits were which, because it's just a mass of trees all been planted. And
there would have been just pasture round about, fields for grazing? And then going on to the rough fell?
Going on to the rough fell.
Did you go up onto the tops at all?
Many times, you went forwards right onto High Street.
That's a reasonable walk.
Yeah, I've done that more recently than I did then. But we used to go quite long walks because, like I said, my dad worked on those farms and they were very good to us with food and milk. And so we used to walk to the farms a lot, you know, because my dad knew all the people.
Your dad actually worked on the farms, did he?
He did.
Yeah.
And that was where they got my name from, because they were going to call me Rose.
Princess Margaret Rose was born the same month. Yeah.
My dad came home from work one day and said, on one of the farms, they've got a lovely little girl called Joyce, and that's what we'll call her.
So
my name actually came from a farm. Yeah. But I was glad they didn't call me Rosie, because my married name was Aaron.
Rosie Aaron.
It had been Rosie Aaron. It was a bit much. So God knows what we did all day.
Well, you and Eric went off on your bikes, and poor Alan used to send him say you take the dog back. And somebody had a dog, and you sent him back with the dog. Poor little Alan.
We were lucky. We were sort of a bit privileged when we had bikes. There weren't many children with bikes up there, so we thought we were quite posh because we got bikes.
Did you know any of the local kids, the kids who were there before Burnbanks, from the farms or from Bampton? Did you get friendly?
My mother would have done, but I don't. My mum wrote to a lot of them.
She did. Wonderful letter writer. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful writing.
Yeah, she did. She would have been, but she died now, so we haven't got her. But that she and my dad knew the farmers, but I didn't know them. Mm. No, not really.
Because you would have seen a lot of the Bampton kids at school, wouldn't you? And Eric.
Yes, yeah.
I would.
All the crab trees and all that lot, you see.
Yes. I remember the ones from the village, I remember crab trees, and I remember twigs.
What about Sylvia's family?
I don't...
You didn't know them, no?
You see, Sylvia's husband was my age, I knew him, I didn't know her husband.
You knew, you didn't?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I did.
And you all used to go to Eric and yourself?
Yeah. went to George.
George, yes.
That's
right.
And this is when you said about going in the, was it a converted ambulance?
I did.
Yeah,
and they put extra seats in.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And squashed us in. I bet in those days they didn't bother how many they got in. I mean, nowadays they'd have to have seat belts and a seat each, and then we just were glad to get in.
But and before that, you said you walked.
We did. Yes. We walked. And we walked, and I mean, I must have been a very little girl, and it was quite a long walk. And my mum one day started out to, she thought I was taking an awful long time to come home, and I was paddling in, she caught me paddling away in a little brook that went along the side of the road.
I was flooded. There's the school, Bampton School.
Oh, yes.
And we went, it was a few years ago, and Eric had us, here he is, he said, line up there as if we're going into school, you see. That was happy numbers.
Mm. That's lovely. So when, any idea how old you were when you started at school and how old Eric would have been?
I was four.
I think they took us at four. Did they?
I think we
went together.
I definitely was four.
Mm. So aged four, you were walking?
Yeah, walked.
Down there.
And no mum's.
It's incredible.
Yeah. No mum's taking us.
No cars, they walked on their own.
They just went.
There would have been, what, horses and carts about, I suppose?
Yeah.
Well, I never saw any, we just walked.
Yeah. Did your mum not take you down to school?
No.
So you all went up.
My mum always told the story about the school dentist came and pulled five of my teeth out and then had to walk home. Never even told her they were going to do it. I mean, what would people do?
Well, there'd be a few lawsuits, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And when I got home, I was about, you're going to pull those teeth out to walk home.
Oh, dear.
But nowadays they'd be ringing up mother everybody would be running, wouldn't they?
You had your teeth taken out in school?
Yeah, they'd take them out. Not even bothered to get...
They must have given you gas, or they wouldn't just yank them out without...
No, they would give you an injection.
Used to give you gas in those days and put you out with a mask on your face.
They nearly frightened me to death.
You would never want to go again. No. It's enough to frighten you.
Yeah, and after that, my dad used to take me into Penrith if I needed any doing.
Yeah.
And I had gas. And I would not go near a dentist because they'd really hurt me and frighten me. Yeah.
Can you remember the school buildings then? Because the wooden building was put up to accommodate the Burnbanks kids, is that right?
I can't.
That might have already been done.
I can remember parties and things at school. You know, you remember the bits of glamour, don't you? The balloons and the pretty bit. But I can remember Christmas there, but I can't remember much about it, really.
What were the teachers like?
Dougie Thornton.
Yeah, I was going to say Dougie Thornton.
Yeah.
Alec used to say he threw chalk at you and threw blackboard... cleaner at you. You know, he said if you just stepped out of line, this thing whizzed over your head and he hit you with it.
He lived in the schoolhouse next door, and I can remember he had a son who went to boarding school and he died, this boy, at school. And he'd had a very lovely big portrait done of this boy. About 14 or whatever. He had all the pupils, so we all lined up and we all had to walk past this photograph of his son. Yeah. And I mean, I was quite impressed with this, that we were allowed in this headmaster's house, which we thought was so possible.
So he was the headmaster, and there must have been other staff.
Must have been, and I don't remember any others. I mean, he always had, he was a little man and he had plus fours on all the time. And he was quite dapper.
I met
John
him.
John called the boy that died.
Yeah. Had a big motorbike.
No, he didn't. He got an illness.
No, Dougie Thornton had a motorbike.
Oh, Dougie Thornton.
But the boy was ill, was he?
The boy, I don't know what he got, but it was fatal, whatever it was. You know, it was all, we were all very impressed about it.
Yeah.
We thought he was quite posh, this boy, because he'd gone to boarding school. Mm. And he'd already gone to TV or somewhere, a long distance, but thought he had.
Did you have uniform for school?
No.
No, just went in, tried to look a bit smart?
I don't remember the uniform.
Went in your knitted jumpers. Knitted grey pullovers. That
wouldn't be uniform.
No.
No.
What did Eric say about school? Did he have school stories?
Just Dougie Thornton. That's all I remember him saying. And throwing the blackboard at, he's like, yeah, and you just dodged.
Lunch? Did you have to take a packet?
Yeah,
lunch?
Took your own.
Take it, yeah. Done here.
Yeah, there wasn't any school dinners or anything like that. I mean, Clackula must have been nearly starving by the time we'd walked all that way. And
ready for Nanny Jewel's ginger cake when you got home.
No wonder I liked the ginger cake when you got home. Yeah.
What about the relationship with people from Bampton, you know, the children at school and so on? Was there any animosity or was it just friendliness? Did anyone see the people who'd come to Burnbanks from away as being...
I don't remember any animosity of any sort or any bullying or any problems of any sort. I don't, because sometimes we used to live up at Crossgate. This was where my dad's parents lived. And my dad's mother died quite young, and the old man, granddad, lived up at Crossgate on his own. And so sometimes we used to go and stay with him up there. Mum used to go and clean through and then go on. And so I used to go to school from there and then walk back there just the same as I did to Burnbank. I don't remember there being any difference between the people in Bampton Village and the people in
Burnbanks.
I don't remember people being nasty to each other.
But isn't it childhood memories?
Oh, do you think you remember the good bits?
Yeah. I mean, Nanny Jewel used to talk about falling out with the neighbours and how Mrs. Suchabody said this. And they were, you know, I think as children, you have such a different outlook on life. Today's children are the same, aren't they?
Children,
yeah.
But nowadays they're all seeing everybody bullying them and they're stabbing them and the.
Well, I blame that a lot on television and the newspapers.
Maybe.
It's sensation.
Bampton School didn't bother.
No, well, there you are.
I bet the lads were having a fight every day.
Yeah.
My dad used to get the strap every day.
He did?
We got the strap at school,
yeah.
So you didn't dare do too much out of strap.
I think Dad got a cane every day.
I used to, before the death, they'd tell my mother. I mean, this is where it's different now. She'd think, oh God, if I tell my mum, what will she say? I mean, my mother would have gone mad if I got into trouble. Like eating pinchy crispies. I've forgotten it.
Do you remember school trips?
Oh, yeah. I remember Eric talking about going to Morecambe, and his mum had bought two pair of trousers for he and Alan, and they were 4 and 11 from Woolworths, and he slid down a concrete bit on the prom somewhere.
Was this a school trip?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, and he slid down, he and Alan, and Alan. They both made a hole in their pants, and the difference of the character of the two boys, Eric walked along all day with his hands over the hole, and Alan didn't bother. He didn't care. He got a hole in his pants, and so what? You know?
I bet his mother wasn't so
big. She was. They didn't dare tell her.
She'd put a patch on him.
She would, yeah.
We've got some pictures, haven't we, of the trips from Burnham.
Yes, they went.
Well, I remember going on those trips, but I don't remember going to school trips.
I think there was only one trip, you know, because the war was on. I mean, I was in Bolton. We didn't have any trips. You know, and after the war, they went from the convent school where I went, they went all over the world. But I never went anywhere, didn't know anything.
No, I didn't.
We were none the worse for it, were we? Or were we?
just do it later in life.
You do it later, do it now.
You never know.
No.
So you described some of the bombing in the war. What else changed? You said, was it your dad was in the Home Guard?
Yeah, my dad was in the Home Guard. And I don't know how many would be in it. There was quite a few. And as I say, two at a time went up onto that fell side. I think there must have been a hut built. And I do know it only had one bunk, so that. But sometimes, if they went with men that were nice, they could share the bunk. Yeah. They could both sleep through without watching for the bombers come over. But not if it was Mr.
Because it was a bit dirty.
This was on the fell side above Burn Banks, was it?
It was on the opposite one, facing Sylvie's house.
Mm.
That one. Mm. Over where the Oswald Hotel, that side.
Right. And the idea was to look out for the dam, was it?
That was absolutely right. They were supposed to go to this hut, which was very near the top. And you were supposed to be watching out. I mean, what good would they
What would they do if it were bombed? Well, what could they do?
And they had to
Dad's army.
It was so cold there, so they took this coal with them so they could light a fire to sit by. I mean, what
was typical Dad's army.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
If they spotted anything, did they have a radio or a telephone?
I wouldn't have thought so. We haven't got anything like that, had we? There must have been... Some
way to do a signal or something.
Yeah, there would have been.
Morse code. Da 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 da.
I don't remember apart from that. There wasn't much in the war.
So life in Burn Banks didn't change. Do you remember rationing that kind of thing?
Well, only that we were never bothered with rationing because, I mean, all right, I can remember us getting our little bit of cheese on a Saturday tea time and we ate it for Saturday tea. But like I say, bacon, eggs, milk, cheese, not cheese, everything else we got from the farms.
And you had hens? Too.
And we had hens in the garden. We ate them as well. Mm. So we didn't go short of anything.
Was there a lot of swapping that went on? You know, paying in kind, someone gives you some milk and you give them some eggs back?
I'm sure.
Yes, there was.
That did happen a lot.
If you were friendly, like my dad was, with the farmers, like his dad was, Sylvia's, because they were working on the farms, they got to know the farm people, and perhaps if they did a little bit of extra walling for them, because they were there to do repairs and things, and then they would pay them with... We'd killed a pig today, you know, and a few sausages or whatever they'd made. And and then we used to catch, naughtily caught salmon that came up there. You weren't allowed.
A bit of poaching.
Poaching.
My mum used to be frightened to death because she had to put the bones in the dustbin. And she was frightened to death
that they wouldn't
was going to know. So you used to grapple them, you know, just catch them. And they weren't allowed to be caught. But my mum never really enjoyed them.
She didn't, no. She was very correct, wasn't she?
Used to be, and whether it was that Bobby Ostler around and look in the dustbin. She was always a bit frightened, so we used to get salmon as well.
Yeah.
And of course she got trout out of Northwater.
I mean, chicken and salmon and trout were a sheer luxury during the war. Like bananas. We never had bananas.
Well, we never had hot bananas at all.
No, we never saw a banana.
Salmon, we got very good to do it.
Yeah, well, we never did, you see.
Sweeties we couldn't get, could we? Except that Mary's mum kept a shop, a sweet shop. I used to go and stay with her a lot, and so I got sweets as well.
My dad used to make toffee.
Well, you used to make toffee?
Yeah.
Used to make it.
Eric's dad made it, lovely treacle
out
toffee.
Out of the... butter and sugar
and
stuff you could get, because that's how I know how to make a toffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Did an awful lot more for ourselves, didn't we, in days gone by.
What about the eel trap? You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
Well, whereabouts was that?
See that little waterfall. There's a waterfall near it. And at the top of the waterfall, we used to swim. This is an area. We're going to go with the Sylvia
next
time.
Are you talking about Measand? Where Measand Beck comes down?
It's just through the... It's not far through the wood we've been talking about.
Where you went over the Castle Grid, do you mean?
No.
It's not that bit. The other side.
No, you know the wood?
Bampton.
Eh?
Near Bampton.
Yeah, you know the wood where we've been talking about that you go through?
Going through to the main road?
Yeah, it wasn't far from there.
Ah.
And there was a nice... No, I think I've got some pictures at home of that pool as well. We used to swim in there. And
then oh, yes.
There was the eel box, and we used to sit up there and have a picnic, but it was to catch eels, really.
Yeah.
And then there was a waterfall.
So who looked after the eel?
I don't know, but it was to do with the old people, same people. Must have been to do with the water people, mustn't it?
Mm. Mm.
With the people that are there now.
Doing working on the dam.
Yeah, because, I mean, the water's still been released from the dam to come down that river, isn't it?
Mm. Is it recording?
Oh, yes, it's fine.
Oh, good.
It's had enough.
There's just a few more things.
All right,
just
right.
A few more things. Mm. You mentioned shopping, and you thought that the shop at Burnbanks didn't have a lot of groceries, maybe sweets and
stuff. I don't think it had groceries.
Whereabouts was it?
Right at the top. Right at the top. It'll be way where those trees are now. Mm. You used to go, it was where the bus turned. You went right to the top of the village, and then it was just there, and I do know they did sweeties, because we used to try and get up there when I was going into Penrith to school, sort of get some sweets before the bus stopped at the top of the village, and they did newspaper sweets, things like that. I think it was, somebody said it was burnt down at the end, wasn't it? Somebody set fire to it, and then it was not used anymore.
What kind of sweets, Joyce?
No.
That kali, fizzy stuff with Spanish in a stick.
Gobstoppers.
And that awful, what's it called? It's like a piece of wood and you chewed it.
Why?
That was dreadful. Do you know what I mean?
No, she
wasn't. I don't think
licorice.
I do.
Licorice, was it?
Was it licorice?
Licorice, yeah.
Like a piece of wood?
Yeah, and you chew it.
Yeah,
and it goes all feathery on top. Oh, it, dreadful stuff. Oh,
what
dreadful.
What do they call that?
Licorice.
Was it licorice?
No. Spanish, no.
Was it a type of licorice?
It is a type of licorice.
Because I think licorice actually comes from a bark, doesn't it? So it might have been...
Well, licorice, well, yeah. You can chew it.
directly from the plant, whereas now the stuff you get now is all processed.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, it was like a stick, like a piece of wood. And you chewed it and all the juice came out of it. And it was all feathery at the top.
Before it had been refined,
yeah, but it was
so much, wouldn't it?
It's a health shop in Bolton, you can still buy it. That's dreadful. I hate it. Oh, hate it. And kali in Spanish.
What's
kali? Kali.
Ah, it's like a... you get it in a bag, it's like a powder.
Yeah,
you dip something in.
Sherbet.
That's right. Yeah. Kali, it was called.
Yeah. Was that the brand name?
Yes. Yeah. Kali, and it's sherbet.
Sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah, different types of sweets. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you wanted other shopping, you had mobile shops.
I can remember mobile shops coming round.
Yes, and there would have been everything. Would there, butchers, bakers, greengrocers?
A baker,
I think so. I'm pretty certain there was, because if there hadn't been, somebody somewhere would have started up a shop, wouldn't they? I mean, it was sense to reason, so there must have been.
Mm. Yeah, they would come round.
I don't remember the post office selling anything else but post office stuff.
And now, post offices don't exist hardly.
No,
they're the ones that are being phased out, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, there are no post offices. They're going to close them.
I know.
Because you buy stamps everywhere. It's a shame, isn't it? And then you say to people, they say, well, you shouldn't close a post office. And you say, do you use it?
I know.
And they say, well, no, my pension goes into the bank.
Mm.
And stamps I buy. And, you know, so... They're
not
phased out.
They keep telling me off. I've got a little post office near where I live, and they keep saying to me, you know, pay your bills through us.
Yeah.
Well, I can't be bothered. If any that I pay by cheque, you tend to just make the cheque out and post it to where it's going, rather than taking, which you should, take it to the post office.
Yeah, but then you have another stamp and all that, you know.
Do you remember going shopping elsewhere? You mentioned Eric's mother buying his trousers from Woolworths.
Yes.
Was that in Penrith?
That was in Penrith, yeah.
So, and Shap would have had a lot of shops in those days.
We rarely went to Shap. And
no, it was always Penrith that they
I
went
think
to.
We had some friends lived at Shap, actually. Mm. And I was just saying, we walked, Mum and I, to visit these friends from, because I don't think there was any transport from Burnbanks to Shap, whereas we did have a bus to Penrith. So you would tend to go on a Saturday, you get your bit of shopping. Then we used to go to pictures sometimes in Penrith, and then get the bus back. But to get to Shap, you either had to bike. I bet we biked with Mum.
Yes. Would she cycle as well?
She would bike.
Yeah.
And we used to come quite a bit to Shepherd. We'd quite a few friends here, but they're not here now. So what extra shopping we did would be done with not shopping.
Can you remember any of the other things at Burnbanks? You know, the dance hall?
I can remember the dance hall. Yeah. I was just telling Bessie and Mary yesterday, there was a great event when you got to this dance hall, and I loved these black patent shoes, ankle strap shoes.
Kilty shoes, they were.
To this dance, you see, and you're all dressed up in your Sunday best. Well, I had to put these best shoes on, but they got all in the bottom. So my mum said, put a bit of cardboard out, and then stick it in your shoe. And so I go to this dance, and I'm nearly got a chair watching the band on the front. And my mum came, she said, "You could see the hole in your shoe."
Oh, we said shoes never have holes in them.
No,
shoes are never mended, are they?
No.
They're outworn.
No.
Yeah.
They obviously couldn't afford another pair of Sunday shoes.
No, to have them repaired. No, you know, yeah.
What sort of dancers were they?
Well, I don't know, but I can remember quite a lot of dances, hokey and things like that.
Everyone
joining in.
Where everybody
progressive barn dance.
Yeah.
That
sort.
Where did the bands come from? Penny?
I wonder. Mm. Must have done. Mm. I don't know where they came from. They weren't local people. They weren't. It wasn't very often. But when it was, absolutely everybody went. All the kids, everybody. You know, it didn't matter who you were. Hokey cokey, I remember doing. But he left arm in and he left arm out.
Shake it all about. It is hokey cokey.
Yeah, we're going to those. But the little chapel, I can't remember at all.
Yes, the mission, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't remember.
What else was there? Canteen? There would have been a canteen, wouldn't there? In the beginning.
Yes, there was a canteen. I don't think I ever went. I don't know if children were allowed to go even. And my parents were, well, my mother signed a pledge or something. I think she didn't drink at all. I was one of these babies.
You don't drink, do you?
I do. I was a blue ribbon baby, and if you're a blue ribbon baby, you didn't touch alcohol. But it didn't quite work with me, but it didn't bother. But as far as I remember about the mission, I think it would be mostly like the single men, or I mean, maybe men, full stop, because in those days the men went out and the women didn't, more or less. Mm. So I imagine it was just like a working men's club, really, as that is now. So I can remember looking in and it had a bar. So I imagine it was just a drinking place for them.
This was the mission hall.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was just for church services.
Church services. I thought that too. Yeah. The mission hall.
Because there was the mission. There was a recreation hall.
Oh, maybe I'm talking about the recreation.
A dance hall. So there were quite a few
halls.
Maybe buildings. Maybe it wasn't that one then.
Yeah. Maybe it was the recreation.
It would be the recreation. Yeah.
And they used to go in there for a drink.
Yes, yes, it would. Mm. Love it would. Right. Yes. Yes.
They wouldn't really mix that with chapel.
No. The mission. No.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, they wouldn't in those days.
Yeah.
So then that was what they did there.
Yes. 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 What else was there? What about you know, things like fire service and police and that kind of thing? Would they come from Shap if need be?
Well, there was Bobby Ostoff, we didn't need anybody else.
Yeah, but if there was a fire.
I don't know about fire. I don't think.
Had a fire extinguisher in the hall.
I would think it would come from Shap, would it?
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah. Maybe it was a band got one.
It hasn't now, but I don't know about then. Maybe then. Yeah.
But the ambulance, where did that come from?
If you needed
an ambulance.
Perhaps used that one that took us to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you remember the doctor coming and surgeries and clinics and that kind of thing?
I can only remember them. I don't know. I wonder if they stopped coming, you know, after we, why that was maybe why we moved out of that house.
Mm.
Because I never remember there being a doctor's clinic. I mean, I remember when I lived there, the doctor coming. only came about one morning a week or a couple of mornings. But I wonder if when we moved, if it had stopped, if people had to go to Bampton or Shap.
So maybe they wanted to dismantle your
house. Yes, that's what I wonder. Because I couldn't think of a reason why we moved from there. And that might have been why. Probably it was being stopped to being used. Might have, I don't know, maybe made into another house or something, couldn't it?
But people didn't go to the doctors then, as we do. It wasn't, it's an almost weekly event for a lot of people now. And, I mean, I never went to the doctors. The doctor did come to our house to give me an injection for diphtheria. And he said, funny story my mother used to tell, he said to my grandma, just hold her. I know this doctor. He said, just hold her. And my grandma's a bit deaf. And she said, what did you say, pardon? And he said, just hold her. And she said, I beg your pardon, doctor. And he said, she's a bit numb, isn't she? And my mother, grandma said, yes, I am numb, doctor. I am.
You can hear what she
wants.
So it wasn't so bad all the time.
It wasn't, no. And he was sorry.
When you think about it, apart from people having babies up at
Bank,
they were all young people.
That's right.
You know, it's not like our community now where you're getting a lot of old people. These are the ones that are clogging up the doctor's surgeries now.
Living to be 90 odd. Yeah.
And I mean, they've all got blood pressure, clogged arteries or something that they keep going. But I mean, in those days, apart from people being pregnant, and I mean, they wouldn't bother too much about that. They either lived or died, didn't they? I mean, they weren't terribly fussed about it. And I don't know where they went to have the babies. Where did they go? Did they have them at home?
Had them at home.
Yeah. So
were you born at home? I was.
There wouldn't be. I bet a doctor didn't come.
No.
Midwife would do it, wouldn't
she? Yeah.
Or some woman in the street quite often did it, didn't they? You know, somebody that was good at
sort of. Yeah, you'd have been all right, wouldn't you?
And I got a job.
You would, Joss, yeah.
Used to lay them out, didn't
they? Yeah, laid them out when they died, yes.
I'd say woman.
And you
delivered the babies and laid them out.
Yes, the people who died would die at home and be there in the front room or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
They didn't make so much fuss as they make now.
No.
One thing you mentioned before we started, I think, that possibly isn't on the recording here, was about the rent and about how much your dad got paid.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain my dad, it was either £2.14 or £2.11. And I know whatever, I think it might have been 11 shillings, and the 11 shillings was the rent. So you've got £2
per week. And that everything.
And you would have your bills, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be much because it'd be a coal.
There used to be a coal man who came.
There was. Yes. Coal wagon.
There was.
Yeah, and it'd be 2 shillings a bag.
Yeah.
It's ever so cheap in those days.
Yeah, no, but you knew it quite
still all those two shillings.
That would be, I think, why my mum tried to get these other little cookers, you know, so she didn't have to light the big fire, that fire.
Well, in summer when you don't need it for warmth.
Yeah, you needed a bit of something to cook on.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Do you remember your dad coming in from work and
the kind of thing
he wore to go to work?
And funnily enough, when I was looking through out my photographs before I was coming up here, there's one of my dad outside with Mr. Hindmarsh is on it as well.
Sylvia's husband.
And and my grandfather, that was Grandfather Ben, was the boss, and he was always quite smart, and he always had a flower in his pelvic granddad.
Yeah.
I mean, really, truly, they lived in a right crap house. I don't know why he should have thought he was smart, but
he
always had his hat on at a George Handel. And then he got these about 5 or 6 workmen around him, Mr. Hindmarsh, my dad, Sid Weir, one or two of that I already knew. And my dad had got this jacket on, you know, and on the picture he's got it like this. And he said, I had to do that because it got a big hole in the front.
Oh.
Not so smart,
really. Yeah.
Not so smart as
that. But you're going to say to show off his gold chain?
No, he just got it turned up. So I had to do that because it got a big hole in.
Yeah. Nothing has holes in now. Clothes never are worn enough to have holes. Shoes aren't worn
because
enough.
Because we buy a hell of a lot.
Well, that's right. And my money.
Thrown away.
Thrown away. Discarded, yeah.
Too much money. Well,
but the other things have changed, like with fleeces and that. It's very hard to, you
can't wear them.
The material
quite hard to
mend
and it gets very thin.
Yeah.
We used to turn the sheets round, didn't they?
Side to middle.
When they got thin in the middle, you couldn't be that. Then you'd get a right ridge because your bum would.
And there was a special seam that you could do that would lie flat.
There was.
Yes.
Can you?
My mum still got some sheets that my gran used to do that.
And it's, what do they call that seam?
It was flat stitch.
A flat stitch, and it was flat.
You went to
it didn't stick
it
up, it was like
again
that.
And you machined it again, didn't you?
Well, by hand, though, it would have been done
by hand.
It would have been done by hand. Mm. Hours and hours of work done by hand.
Feather bolsters.
Feather beds.
Oh, no, blooming beds you had to turn over every morning.
Yeah.
Oh, beds. Had it, my grandma's. It was
spring,
terrible.
Those horrible spring beds you have to... You put them together, didn't you? Screw them up.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, iron beds. And it was like a ratchet thing used to put them together.
I remember the feather bed. We had to turn it over every day. Yeah, things are a bit easier now. Better to come here and get your bed turned.
You're all right now.
Anything else you want to add? I think we've touched on quite a lot.
I can't think of anything else because I can't remember.
Can you remember how you felt when you left? You obviously described living in Burn Banks, and it sounds like as a child you had a good time. Were you sad to leave?
No, I can't remember being sad at all. I'd already gone to school in Penrith. I already spent a lot of time at Penrith because my grandma and my auntie lived there. They spot me rotten and I spent all school holidays. Mm. By this time I was about 15. And I'd got friendly with the lad that lived at Penruddock who was at the grammar school with me. So I was quite happy to move. Yes.
So up to that point, though, you were travelling to Penrith school?
I was, yes, yes.
Was that on a bus?
It was on the bus. Yeah. And then, of course, during the war, the school was shared with Newcastle Grammar School, school at Penrith School. And so we only went mornings. Yeah. So we went early.
Did you?
I think it was
in the mornings.
We did. And so we went on an earlier bus and then we came home at 2 and then Newcastle Grammar School had it from 2 to 6 or whatever because they were evacuated there.
So they were all living in the town?
They were all living in Penrith.
The buildings?
Yes. Yeah, they were evacuated to Penrith, you think?
Yeah.
And so they had the school. Mm-hmm. So it was quite good. So but although we got an early finish, by the time you'd traipsed all the way around by Lowther and God knows where with everybody on the bus, it was nearly tea time by the time we got home.
Were there a lot of you in Burn Banks at that stage? A lot of children, teenagers? Or had some people moved away by then?
There was quite a few who went to grammar school.
Yes.
Were there?
Etchie Sandham, June Holliday, that you already talked to. Cynthia, quite a lot of the people I knew, and a lot of the boys went to the boys' school because, of course, I presume you could. I don't know. Could you stay at Mountain School till you left school?
14, probably. Stay till you're 14.
Well, I think there was a boys' school near the grammar school, so quite a lot of children went on the school bus. Mm. Then, of course, they picked up children all the way into Penrith. So once I was at the grammar school, then I could buy food and take it home, you know. Mm. Like we could then get a loaf of bread or we could get... Mum used to give me fourpence halfpenny to get a large loaf on my way home. You know? So you started that... You were able to do a bit of shopping that way, so you were getting stuff home.
Yes.
It was a long trek.
The jewels had gone, you see, by then. Yeah, they went in 1942.
Yeah. They'd go before I went.
Yeah, home. That's right.
Has Eric's said how he felt when he had to leave?
I hated it.
He wanted to stay.
Yes, he didn't like it.
He so didn't. He would have gone from a rural
place to a busy town.
Quite a change.
Yeah,
and
I think he didn't like it.
When they got there, I think they just rented a flat or something.
They went in that little cottage at Lostock. 3 shillings a week they paid for it. And they'd no furniture, nothing. You know, it was hard, wasn't it?
Well, why didn't they have any furniture? What happened to the furniture?
Well, I don't know.
So they had to start again?
Start again down there.
It's all there.
Well, would the furniture be with the bed? With the house?
No.
No, they were on.
They would have their own, were they?
I think Sylvia's described taking all the furniture in.
He was out of work for a bit. Because I remember my mum buying off Mrs Twig quite frequently. She had a lot of little children. And up till Mum died recently, she'd got a little tea set with a black edge, which had been a wedding present to Mrs. Twig, which she sold on to my mum. And I bet it was hardly for anything, you know.
Yeah, but you just had to have that bit of money.
She just needed that bit of money. So it is possible that, Mr. and Mrs. Joe sold their stuff.
Yeah, possibly did. Then started.
There was no dole very little, you know. If once his job was finished there, he would get absolutely nothing. She wasn't working, really.
No.
So I would think they may well have sold.
Sold everything they had there.
Other people were moving up there.
Yeah.
So people were willing to buy what he'd left.
Because
I don't think we took very much furniture when we went to Penrith.
No.
And you'd have to, obviously, you'd have to transport it yourself if you
kept
it.
Yeah, that's right.
And that would be, that would probably cost you.
Yeah. Well, would there be any
They went in. Oh, I don't know. No, they went into that farm cottage, didn't they? Seddon's. Do you remember? In Chelsea Gate Lane.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there'd be furniture in that, wouldn't there? It was only a tiny little cottage. And they would get furniture there with it. There'd be beds and stuff in there.
No, I don't know. I can't remember. Too long ago.
Yeah.
And what do you think about Burnbanks as it is now? Or as it's becoming now? Because it's in the middle of a big change.
It is a beautiful place. It is a beautiful setting. And if you've got £200,000 to throw down the river, then buy a house there. Beautiful. Love a holiday house. But
there aren't going to be holiday houses, though, are there?
I don't think there ought to be.
No.
It's the community with all these silly holiday clubs.
Yeah.
I think there is a clause. There's supposed to be some bit of local occupancy and be able to sell. But, yeah.
I'll tell you something. I bet you 50p when I come again in
10 shillings, you mean.
In 5 years' time, they'll nearly all be holiday clubs.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I've heard this before. It's making them. Well, they can already sell those that are already there. They can sell them to anybody. Those bought.
I don't know how long these clauses last.
Nah,
it might be something.
You can bet your bottom dollar. They won't sell them.
We'll see. But you wouldn't like to live there again now.
No.
Too old.
If you were younger,
Joyce, you wouldn't want to come back, would you?
No. I don't think so. I think I prefer it. I mean, funnily enough, when my husband died.
What was that?
What?
Molly, you don't want to come back up here now. You had felt maybe I could come back to live up in the lakes when I retire. But you don't want to now, do you?
Well, I think you need to be a little bit more near shops and accessibility, really.
I tried Greystock. I came back after my husband died for 3 months and rented a cottage in Greystock in the winter.
Yeah.
Had a lovely 3 months, but I wanted to go back to Northampton. I sort of always dreamt that I'd like to come back.
I want to come back.
But I think once I tried it, although I found the people lovely, I thought Greystock was lovely, lovely place.
But not permanently.
I wanted to go home again.
Right. And you said that after he left, Eric was always keen to come back.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. He always, I don't know if he wanted to live back here, but he loved to come back, and he would be really, really quiet, and as soon as we started to approach Burnbanks, he got really excited, and we went there, and that was where we did that, and that was where we climbed the trees.
It's because of the memories that
that's right.
Children, it's
Children's memories.
And children's memories are nice ones, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Hopefully,
yeah.
Did he keep in touch with people like Sylvia?
Yes, he did.
Over the years?
Yes, he did.
Anyone else?
Who else was there? Ada Preston at the mill.
She had the shop in Bampton.
She did. And then she had the mill at Bampton.
Yeah. So he kept in touch with her.
Yeah, very much.
Anyone else?
Wrote. Margaret at sharp. No, I don't think so, but I'd just love to come. And Sylvia, he'd come and see Sylvia. And if we came back, he just wanted to live back here. And I'd always lived in Bolton, and I just said, we can't go and live back there, you know. My memories are not here. My memories are there in Bolton.
I think it's like anywhere else. It would be lovely to come back for 3 months in the summer, but I won't want to be stuck there.
Is it a housing association?
No, I don't think so.
Is it not?
No.
I've never heard of it.
Because Margaret works for a housing association, my daughter.
Right.
And she thought it was a housing association who'd taken over this.
I don't think it is.
Is it not?
It didn't look like
it. I think it's a private developer
who's
bought it and is developing it. Mm. But because it's in the national park, I think
that's right.
They'll be keen to put as many restrictions on anything intrusive they'll be dedicated holiday homes or anything like that. So hopefully it'll be in addition to the community rather than a blot on landscape, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think it will attract any young people there?
I think I've heard of the possibility of a family moving in, and a lot of people around the area have shown interest.
Good.
Yeah, there are people, quite a lot of people who would like to live there.
There are two cars looking about.
So a lot of people have been going to have a look, pinching some of the wood, because there's been a lot of the old wood that came out of the roof, a lot of it was really sound.
Was it?
There's been a lot of it. They've burnt a lot of the rubbish, but people have been going and taking planks away. So maybe for firewood, but some of it I think is good stuff.
People are looking for old wood, aren't they, when they're renovating
that
places?
Because it's a different quality.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's treated in a different way.
That's right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Are you happy with what we've done?
Yes. I mean, we've been talking for 77 minutes now.
Have we?
Right. Well, thanks very much, both of you.
Thank you.
I'm going to come.
Thank you.
Where can we go now? Where's that old people's home in Penrith?